We'll hear argument first this afternoon in number 87267, D.H. Holmes Company against Shirley McNamara. Mr. Rinker, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, in this case, for the first time since its decision in the Complete Auto Transit versus Brady case, the Court is faced with the question of whether a state may constitutionally impose a direct use tax on the value of goods while those goods are still in the stream of interstate commerce. Appellant Holmes is a Louisiana corporation operating department stores in Louisiana and three other states. During 1979 through 1981, Holmes, as a part of its marketing strategy, contracted with various designers of catalogs in New York for the design, creation, printing, and distribution of its catalogs. In turn, these catalog designers contracted with printers in Atlanta, Boston, and Oklahoma City for the addressing, printing, and mailing from their local post offices direct to certain select residents of the states in which Holmes does its retail business. At no time did Holmes or any of its agents or employees have any contact with, receive, or take possession of the catalogs which had been mailed directly from the out-of-state post offices to selected residents within the state of Louisiana.
How many states do these residents reside in?
They are in the state of Louisiana and three other states located in the Gulf Coast areas. Florida, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Tax here only applied to the...
The 82% of the catalogs which actually went into the state of Louisiana, yes, sir.
And Holmes owned those catalogs, didn't they?
Well, sir, that question is still at issue. Although the court below determined that Holmes did own the catalogs at the point at which title to the catalogs was transferred to the particular residence, you'll note that in the particular contract as described and was found by the lower courts, we actually contracted for a service, that is, the construction of catalogs and the subsequent sending of those catalogs directly to residents. At no time did Holmes actually take title because we contracted for the performance of a service rather than for the purchase of particular goods.
Well, what happened to any catalogs that weren't delivered?
If the catalogs weren't delivered to the selected residents in Louisiana, the post office was instructed by the instructions on the catalog to leave those catalogs with the then-current resident. And if they weren't distributed to the then-current resident, they were distributed or sent back to the Holmes store.
So Holmes got them back.
Holmes ultimately would get the catalogs back that weren't actually distributed. That's correct.
Even though you suggest are not taxable?
The ones that Holmes got back, yes, Your Honor, are subject to tax because in that particular situation, Holmes then obtained possession and control over those catalogs incident to ownership. The basis of a use tax...
Do you think that much should turn on an incident of title? I mean, Holmes put this whole process in operation where the catalogs were created.
That's correct, Your Honor, but we have to focus on the purpose and the incidence of a use tax. A use tax is one which is designed to tax some activity of the taxpayer within the taxing jurisdiction. In this particular case, Holmes performed no activity within the taxing jurisdiction to subject it to tax. Holmes did not purchase the catalogs within the taxing state. Clearly, the purchase would have taken place in one of the other states, either in New York or where the printers are located. The use of the catalogs by Holmes in connection with any use by Holmes, none of that use took place within the taxing jurisdiction.
Well, Mr. Harrison, I guess, though, that Holmes caused the distribution in Louisiana of the catalogs for its benefit.
Holmes, the only activity...
So is the taxable activity the causing of distribution of the catalogs for its benefit in the state?
Basically, that's correct. It's the importing of the catalogs or placing an order which caused the catalogs to ultimately be distributed to the residents.
Is that not an activity that can be taxed in the jurisdiction?
In the court below, the only incident of taxation was causing these catalogs to be imported. There was no evidence of any other activity performed by Holmes in connection with these catalogs. For example, there was no evidence that Holmes
is placed... Is that an insufficient activity for a jurisdiction to impose a tax?
Yes, it is.
Why?
This court has focused on jurisdiction to impose a tax in two separate areas. Although they're separate, they're somewhat related. One is the due process ground, and the other has
you
to do with the Commerce Clause ground.
You didn't raise a due process issue here.
That's correct. Holmes does not dispute that Louisiana and Holmes have a due process contact. But the issue here is that there is no contact between the activity are the various activities involved with importing the catalogs and the state of Louisiana. Simply by placing an order does not constitute activity, certainly in light of this Court's past decisions on what constitutes activity subject to tax, which is sufficient to impose tax.
I just don't understand the argument. If the activity is sufficient for due process purposes to permit the taxing jurisdiction to tax, then how does the Commerce Clause change the result?
I don't agree with your premises, Justice O'Connor, and that is that the activity does not create the right of the state to tax. Holmes, because it operates department stores, it makes sales, it owns property, creates in Louisiana the right to actually tax Holmes. But the particular activity which we're talking about here, and that is the distribution of catalogs, does not establish a link with the state of Louisiana, which allows Louisiana to tax it on Commerce Clause grounds. On due process grounds, certainly no one can argue that Holmes has great and significant contacts with the state of Louisiana. But for Commerce Clause purposes, at least as far as the way this Court has interpreted so far, is that the tax has to be imposed on the activity of the taxpayer within the taxing jurisdiction.
Well, suppose a customer of Holmes ordered from Holmes an item of equipment. Holmes ordered it from out of state and had it shipped directly to its customer. And its customer is liable for use tax.
That's correct.
That's because they're going to use it in the state of Louisiana.
I mean, you're exactly correct, Your Honor.
But,
Holmes
could be made to collect that tax.
That's correct. But
now, and the activity is the receipt and use of something in Louisiana.
You're right, Your Honor. Holmes could be required to collect a use tax. And this Court made that point very clearly in its National Geographic case, where the question was whether or not the state of California could require National Geographic to collect a use tax on sales of goods made to particular residents in the state of California.
Holmes certainly is having catalogs imported and delivered to its customers for use by them in the state of Louisiana.
That's correct. The customers are, in fact, using the catalogs. If this were a tax on Holmes...
Why can't you tax Holmes for importing, having these things imported for use in Louisiana?
Well, Justice White, as you just pointed out, the person who's actually using the catalogs within the state of Louisiana is the recipient, not Holmes.
Holmes is certainly having that use provided.
Holmes receives the benefit of other people's using its catalogs within the taxing jurisdiction. That's certainly correct. Hopefully we'll receive them. Otherwise, presumably, Holmes would not have ordered the catalogs in the first place. Similarly, this Court might focus on a question of whether or not in the case of the designer blue jeans or in the case of Gucci handbags, are those retailers liable for a use tax in Louisiana when someone carries them around within the state of Louisiana? Technically, they're using and advertising those products by having those particular articles of clothing or apparel with them at the time.
Could Holmes have made a dollar in Louisiana without those catalogs?
Yes, they could have, Your Honor.
How?
People go to and shop at Holmes and have been shopping at Holmes for over 150 years, long before catalogs ever became...
Those are pretty old people.
You mean in the...
Some young ones still make it over there also.
You mean in the Holmes store?
Yes, Your Honor. They've been shopping at the Holmes stores, and it was not necessary for the catalogs to be distributed in order for them to purchase...
Well, why did the Holmes waste all that money if it wasn't necessary?
Holmes, at one time, was contemplating... There wasn't a loss involved, Your Honor, but there are several reasons for distributing catalogs other than the situations that you faced where there is...
There's no other reason that I can conceive except for business purposes.
That's correct. It is for business purposes.
The only business they were interested in was selling.
That's correct, Your Honor, just as Holmes does.
The only interest in Louisiana was to sell something for a Louisiana citizen.
That's right. That's why Holmes causes them to be imported. There's no doubt about it. For the public relations effect of the catalogs...
You say Holmes caused it to be imported.
That's correct, Your Honor. They did cause it to be imported.
And if they had picked them up and delivered them themselves, they'd have been in trouble.
If they had picked them up and delivered themselves, there's no question that at that point, Holmes would have had possession and control over the catalogs within the state of Louisiana. That possession and control would have been sufficient to impose the tax.
I can now see the memorandum that the law department gave Holmes.
I apologize, Your Honor.
I can now give you the law memorandum that the lawyers gave home. If you do it this way, you won't have to pay taxes.
That's
correct?
That's basically correct. Our opponents, however, suggest that we did this solely in order to avoid taxes. That's certainly not the case.
Well, what other reason?
The Holmes ordered its catalogs in this manner because it participated in what's called the Atkins Buying Organization. And in its participation with this organization in New York, it obtained the design, construction, printing, and distribution of catalogs at discount rates. It had no control over where the catalogs were going to be designed. It had no idea where the catalogs were going to be printed. It simply relied on its participation in this purchasing organization in New York to handle all of this. If, in fact, the purchasing organization had found that the best arrangement could have been made with Louisiana printers, it perhaps would have contracted with Louisiana printers for this purpose. But, in fact, the organization didn't find that. Holmes did not adopt this method of distributing catalogs in order to avoid Louisiana taxes. We're focusing here on the obligation of a state to collect a use tax versus the obligation for it to have a use tax imposed upon its use of goods within the state. As I mentioned in the National Geographic case, this Court specifically pointed out the distinction between imposing the obligation on Holmes to collect a use tax, which we would not dispute in this case. If, in fact, this were a situation where the taxing state was trying to get Holmes to collect taxes on the value of these catalogs in the hands of a recipient, there would be no problem, and the state could do that. The state could impose the obligation on us because Holmes has due process contacts with Louisiana. The state could require us to collect the tax from the recipients. However, this Court made it very clear in its decision in National Geographic by stating that, however fatal to a direct tax, and that's the tax we're talking about here, a direct tax, direct use tax on Holmes on the value of these catalogs might be, that particular legal argument does not apply in the case of the imposing the obligation on the taxpayer to collect a use tax on someone else in the taxing state who actually used the goods which are sought to be taxed. That's the basic difference in our case. In this case, the operating incident of any activities by Holmes took place outside of the taxing state. All of the manufacture, construction of the catalogs, the addressing, the mailing took place out of Louisiana. None of the activities sought to be taxed to constitute use or distribution with Louisiana took place in the state of Louisiana.
But if one looks at the whole plan, so to speak, certainly you can pick out incidents that took place elsewhere, as you point out. But the idea was Holmes, they wanted to engender a distribution of catalogs in Louisiana that would help sell their products in Louisiana. There's certainly a lot of Louisiana ties.
You're correct. There are a lot of Louisiana ties, and sufficient for establishing of the due process, for example. But I'll give you an example. If in this particular case the catalogs were printed in the state of Georgia and were trucked through each of the states to get to Louisiana, including Mississippi and Alabama, presumably each of those states, if they had decided they could tax goods in interstate commerce, as we're doing here, those states could impose a use tax on the goods as they're traveling through the state.
But they wouldn't have nearly the claim that Louisiana would, because Holmes is located in Louisiana. The stuff is going to people in Louisiana to stimulate sales in Louisiana. Georgia and Mississippi don't have any claims like that, do they?
But the due process contacts between Holmes and the state of Louisiana exist in those states. For example, if we dropped off merchandise there or catalogs, those states also would have the right to impose a use tax collection obligation. But presumably, and also in those states, since the catalogs are under our possession and control in the hands of the printer, those states could assess a use tax on the value of the catalogs because the state in those states, there, or at least in the state of Georgia, where one of the printers is located, the catalogs are actually present there, and we can have some control over them. Once goods are placed in the stream of interstate commerce, no one, not even the owner, is deemed to have any possession or control incident to ownership. And at all times, these catalogs are located in commerce.
You say no one is deemed to have any control incident to ownership when goods are placed in the stream of interstate commerce.
For purpose of use taxation, yes, Your Honor.
Well, when you add for purpose of use taxation, then you're relying on some cases of this Court?
Yes, Your Honor. In your earlier cases prior to prior to the Complete Auto Transit case, you pointed out that goods in interstate commerce are not subject to any type of direct tax. Presumably, Complete Auto did not overrule those earlier decisions. Interstate commerce involving goods starts at the time that they're actually shipped and ends at the time of acceptance of the catalogs. In this case, acceptance would have taken place upon the removal from the post office box by the recipient of the catalog of the catalog. At the time the recipient takes the catalog, it's not Holmes's catalog, and no use tax can be imposed on Holmes. Therefore, during the entire route, from the time the catalog is actually dropped into the mail until the recipient takes it, Holmes does not have any rights to the catalog, or does not exercise any rights incident to ownership. Those rights mean possession or control over the catalogs.
Mr. Rachel,
incident to ownership sufficient for taxation.
Why do you say that presumably Complete Auto Transit does not overrule those cases?
Well, in Complete Auto Transit dealt with, again, activities rather than taxation of goods. Complete Auto Transit.
You can tax the activity of conducting interstate commerce, but you can't tax the goods that are going through interstate commerce.
The activities taxed in Complete Auto and its progeny are solely related to indirect benefits to interstate commerce. In those cases, the tax was imposed, for example, in the Complete Auto case, imposed upon the gross receipts of a trucking company which shipped the goods. The court didn't even consider the possibility that the state might tax the goods while they're in the truck being shipped. It only focused on the issue of whether the trucking activities were subject to taxation.
Why is it more harmful to what the Commerce Clause seeks to protect to allow the goods to be taxed than it is to allow the activity of carrying the goods to be taxed? Doesn't either one equivalently harm interstate commerce?
In the first place, the activities can be more clearly identified with a particular taxing jurisdiction. For example, in Commonwealth Edison versus Montana, it was clear that the coal was being mined in the state of Montana. There was an activity within the state of Montana for which a tax was imposed. In Complete Auto, the activity was the shipping on particular trucks within the state of Illinois, within the state of Mississippi, that was taxed. In our case, if someone is allowed to impose a direct use tax on goods, which are the commerce itself, every state through which the commerce passes would theoretically have the right to tax those goods, provided that those states through which the goods were being transferred had due process contacts with the taxpayer.
Why isn't that the same thing with the trucker who carries the goods? Presumably every state through which that trucker drives can tax the activity of his trucking. Isn't that right?
That's correct. But there,
I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two.
In the case of the goods are isolated. In the case of the goods or the catalogs in this particular case, then there has to be some kind of activity, as the court pointed out, the nexus test of the Complete Auto case is that there must be some nexus between, and Justice Brennan, who wrote the opinion, pointed out very clearly that the connexity has to be between the activity and the taxing state. In this case, there's no connection between the activity and the taxing state. There is a connexity between Holmes and the taxing state, but not between the activity involved in importing the catalog.
Now, wait a minute. If the activity is causing the distribution in Louisiana, that is connected with Louisiana.
But there is no operational incidence of any activity within the state of Louisiana,
well, sure,
which can be taxed.
It's having the catalogs distributed there.
Having the catalogs distributed in Louisiana does not involve any operational incidents, does not involve any act by Holmes within the taxing state. We place an order, or
Holmes
even assuming
caused,
the state's theory.
Holmes caused the distribution. He ordered it. He paid for it. He caused the distribution in Louisiana. Or it did, I should say.
Correct. It did cause the distribution in Louisiana simply by placing an order for the catalogs. But that activity took place outside of the state of Louisiana. Therefore, Louisiana has no jurisdiction to impose a direct tax on an activity which took place outside of its borders.
I thought the distribution occurred within the state.
The actual transfer of title, perhaps, under the state's theory.
That's what we're talking about.
But Holmes did not engage because the catalogs at all times, even when they're in the state, when they're in the mailbox, when they're in the postal service.
But before they got to the mailbox, there was a direction by Holmes in Alabama to the printer in
Atlanta, Boston, and Oklahoma City, yes, sir.
Was it not? Directing the precise addresses to which catalogs were to be delivered.
That's good.
And that action took place in Louisiana, didn't it?
That's not correct, Your Honor, and the record certainly does not support that.
The direction to the printer to mail them to those addresses?
The actual instruction, in the first place, the record does not support that the Holmes person who said, we want to order the catalogs, actually placed the order from within the state of Louisiana. That is not in the record. In the second place, the person who ordered the catalogs ordered them from a buying organization in the state of New York. The state of New York then directed the particular printers. Holmes had nothing to do with the selection of the particular printers.
Who gave the printer the addresses?
Holmes provided them to the buying organization, which ultimately got to the printer. That's correct, Your Honor. But all of those activities took place outside of the state of Louisiana.
Mr. Rinker, so supposing that you were looking at this transaction from a philosophical point of view from on high, and you looked at what took place in Georgia, what took place in Louisiana, and what took place in Mississippi and Alabama, the states. Which state do you think would have the greatest claim, just in a perfectly common-sense way, to put a tax on this transaction?
Well, assuming that there was an actual transfer of title to the catalogs, which I mentioned earlier is still in dispute, transfer of title to Holmes prior to delivery to the particular residence, any of those states, assuming a sale had been completed there, could have imposed the tax, a sales tax. But all of those states happen to have exemptions for printed materials. All of those states also happen to have exemption from their sales tax for merchandise that is sent outside of the state or is intended for distribution outside of the state. So presumably those states could have a right to tax the catalogs, but they chose not to.
Yes, but why don't you answer the Chief Justice's question?
Is which one has the closest contact?
Yes.
The one that has the closest due process contact with the state of Louisiana is Holmes. But I think the problem is we're trying to mix two different concepts, the due process concept versus the interstate commerce clause concept.
Mr. Rinker, does it make any difference to you or from your response to these questions? I gather it doesn't. That the tax is not upon the activity but upon the property?
So long as
the activity would justify a tax on the activity, we can assume that the tax is a tax on the activity, as opposed to a tax on the property, which is what it is. Is that right?
In brief, our argument is that since there are no activities by Holmes within the state of Louisiana, activities being those types of activities similar to the ones that this Court has addressed in its previous decisions after complete auto, that, in fact, there are no activities, and because of that, the tax must be imposed on the goods.
But you concede that if there is an activity that could be taxed as an activity, then this tax, even though it's not a tax on an activity but simply a property tax, must be upheld under the Commerce Clause.
Assuming there's an activity which has sufficient connexity and sufficient operating incidences under the state statute, which requires distribution, then we would be subject to tax. That's correct. But we're saying that there are no activities in the state of Louisiana which subject the catalogs to being taxed. The incidental activities that have been referred to earlier by the various justices, such as placing an order, are not operational in the sense that there is no actual transportation by Holmes in the state of Louisiana. There is no mining by Holmes. There is no collection of a use tax obligation on the citizens who actually receive and do use the catalogs. And because of that, we say that there is no activity in the state of Louisiana upon which the state can assess its tax.
Mr. Rinker, let me ask you a question, if I may. Supposing instead of mailing them, they had delivered the whole 100% of the catalogs to a Louisiana location, then distributed 82% to Louisiana residents and 18% to Mississippi residents. Could they tax 100% of the goods in that event?
Under existing jurisprudence, yes, Your Honor, all of those could be taxed. The reason being is that Holmes took possession and control over the catalog.
100%. But do you think the state would now claim they could say 82% now go to Louisiana by mail and 18% to Mississippi Would the state claim they can, Louisiana can tax all 100%?
In that particular case, I would think that Louisiana might try and tax 100%. We, of course, then would argue that these goods were still in the course, as long as they're not stored for our benefit and they're just temporarily stopped over, that they're intended to be continuously in interstate commerce, and that incidental stopover, let's say, to be shifted from a common carrier into the Postal Service, is not sufficient to impose the tax on homes on the value of catalogs sent outside of the state.
But you're going to lose that. Once you've conceded that so long as there's an activity that the state could place a tax on, and if we find there is such an activity here, it really wouldn't matter where the catalogs were shipped, right? We just look at the whole activity.
No, Justice Scalia, that's not the case here. Because there isn't, if the catalogs are shipped to Louisiana and they do sit in a warehouse, for example, before being transshipped, we are engaged in the activity of storage. We're not engaged in any activity like that in the instant case.
Well, you'd also be engaged in the activity of shipping 82% to local residents and 18% to out-of-state residents. Your opponent argues, well, this is the what you've got here is the functional equivalent of that, but you just use the mails. So they must be claiming the right to tax the 18% as well as the 82%.
But the state tax statute deals with the use, which can be defined as any type of use, including storage. Storage is one element of use. In the case where the catalogs are stored before they're distributed, a use tax can be imposed on homes. In the case where there is actual distribution activities, such as in the Complete Auto case, where there were the distribution activities involved the transportation of a trucking company of particular goods, that activity of distribution is subject to tax. Holmes does not engage in such activities within the state. It simply places an order in a foreign state and requires those catalogs to be sent to particular residents.
An order for transportation.
And orders the transportation but does not perform the activities.
But if they had done it with their own trucks, it would be.
If they did it with their own trucks, mm-hmm. The trucking activity could be taxed, but not necessarily the goods in interstate commerce, unless the state tried to tax them because we're storing them in the truck.
And so to escape the tax, you send it by parcel post.
Well, we didn't do it for that reason, Your Honor, but that's what actually happened, in fact. If there are no further questions, I'd like to save my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Rinker. We'll hear now from you, Mr. Pugh.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I'm delighted that you asked the trucking question. It was of interest to me to read in one of the dissenting opinions in one of the state court decisions that, paraphrasing, homes should not be required to have their employees to ride around on the mail trucks. As a matter of fact, what occurred here, and so found by the state court, was that homes distributed the catalogs. The distribution of the catalogs is a use in Louisiana. Louisiana happens to be one of three states that adopts that word, distribution, as it relates to use. I wouldn't suggest for a moment that the word use is not broad enough to include distribution, whether or not it's so spelled out by the state. In this instance, it is.
Now, does this include, suppose I'm a, well, could you tax the mailman for distributing these catalogs?
No, Your Honor.
This is a property tax. It's on the catalogs, isn't it? It's either on the purchase or the use of the property, but you have to have a property interest, right?
It is the use of the property, Your Honor. What happened is homes
of your own property. If it's somebody else's, if I borrow
it's
neighbor's
property,
if I borrow a neighbor's catalog and read it, you wouldn't hit me with a use tax, would you?
No, sir. It's homes' catalogs. They bought them, they paid for them, they told them precisely who to send them to, they took all of the charge customers to send them to them. That's where the list came from, the charge customers. They admitted during the trial that it's the charge customers who are more likely to use the catalogs. In addition to that, the catalog itself spells out in the centerfold. It gives you an 800 number. It gives you all of the phone numbers for each of the local stores. In addition to that, the telephone directory, which is an exhibit here to the extent applicable for Holmes, has got a mail order number. How can you mail order what you don't know is not mail orderable? In this instance, you find out by reading the catalog. It tells you if you want to ask further questions to call upon it. Now, Holmes owned the catalogs. It was so found by the state court below.
Mr. Pugh?
Yes.
Holmes owned the catalogs in Louisiana. Did they also own the catalogs that were sent to the Mississippi customers?
Well, Holmes would own those catalogs just the same as if they had been sent in Louisiana.
Louisiana impose a use tax on the 18% that went to out-of-state customers?
No, sir, and would not attempt to.
Could Mississippi impose a use tax on the 18% that went to Mississippi customers?
It could if it chose to do so, Your Honor.
It could.
It may be the 18% is de minimis. I'm not sure. There were 19 cattle.
The total amount, I mean, I guess it's worth fighting about. You think an out-of-state, if Holmes stores were located in Mississippi and all of the management went in Mississippi, and the catalogs just happen to be sent to Louisiana customers, you'd still have a stronger case.
Well, I would have a case insofar as Louisiana's concerned.
Right.
I think I've got a strong case because
But you do not rely on the fact that the stores are located in Louisiana.
I rely on the fact that the stores are located in Louisiana to assist in any nexus question, and in addition to that, the whole purpose...
You think you need the stores? Because that's why I asked you about Mississippi.
No, sir, I don't think I need the stores, but I got 13 of them there, and I got 5,000 employees, I got a half a million charge customers.
If we're focusing on the activity.
The activity is the
And their ownership of the catalogs just before they're turned over to their customers.
Yes, sir.
It would be the same case, as I understand it, if the stores were located in Mississippi.
Well, this is the only. As I can appreciate what the court's saying, I do not disagree with what the court's saying. I do say in this instance, and, of course, we don't have to reach the Mississippi
problem. So if any manufacturers mail something to a customer in another state, even free, the manufacturer can be taxed on that item in the other state or causes it to be mailed by a third party.
Well, I guess we better decide now whether we're talking about who's going to collect the tax. In this instance, Holmes is in Louisiana. They argue that they don't have to pay the tax because they don't have somebody up in New York that's collecting the use tax for them. And, of course, that doesn't make a lot of sense in that Holmes is in Louisiana. Holmes is directly responsible for the tax and should be obligated to pay it. And we insist to the court or suggest to the court that they ought to be liable for it.
Well, we're concerned about who else can be hit with this kind of tax. I assume that under the theory that the state's running here, anybody who goes to a mass mailing firm and gets a, you know, has them get a list of customers, every time you send a brochure to a customer in Louisiana, you're telling me that Louisiana courts hold that I own the brochure and I'm using it when I get it mailed to a customer, and therefore I can be taxed on that. Isn't that, that's the logic of the position the state's making, isn't it?
That could certainly be construed under the position that we're taking.
Good source of tax revenue.
And what case of ours is the strongest support for that position that you can say?
Well, the strongest support for the position that I'm primarily taking in this case is the one that was handed down Tyler Pipe last year when the suggestion was made concerning taxpayers' ability to establish and maintain a market in this state for the sales. It's exactly what they're doing. They're maintaining a market in the state of Louisiana for their sales by the use of the catalogs. Precisely what they're doing. In addition to that, the National Geographic case speaks in terms of being whether or not it's disassociated from the local business. That's the last thing this is disassociated from the local business. It's actually promoting the local business for Holmes, and that's the purpose of the catalogs.
If you're promoting out-of-state business, I mean, what's the difference? If you own the brochure, as you say, you automatically own it if you've ordered it.
You own it.
And if you're distributing it in Louisiana, that's enough.
It is. And that's what they're doing. Now, turning back, if I may, for a moment to the state court. In Louisiana, ownership does not require that there be possession of the item itself. You may own something in Louisiana without possessing it. In addition to that, and so found by the lower court, in addition to that, these were gifts, and the gifts are not completed until they're accepted by the resident and either kept or thrown away. They belong to Holmes from the time and during the processing, during the mailing, during their receipt in Louisiana, they continued to belong to Holmes. As Justice O'Connor says, and counsel acknowledged, Holmes is a dealer. A dealer who imports or causes to be imported tangible personal property into Louisiana for distribution is liable for the tax. Precisely what took place here. Distribution, as I've indicated earlier, is a use that's taxable. Distinguishing between the two, there was some question, I believe, earlier concerning the sale or use tax. The basic distinction, as I appreciate, between the two is a sales tax is on the freedom of purchase, and a use tax, in turn, is on the enjoyment of that purchase. That's precisely what Holmes was doing. They were enjoying the catalogs that they purchased for the purpose of furthering their business. Did you have a question? Yeah. Excuse me, I saw you move your hand. I thought you were about to.
Don't provoke me, Mr. Pugh. I don't.
You gave me enough trouble early, Your Honor, I'll tell you. As I've indicated, these catalogs were designed by Holmes, admittedly by their own employees, for the purpose of promoting their sales, for the purpose of generating business. They did, in fact, generate business. They called people to come into the stores. For that reason, we believe that Holmes is liable for the tax, and I do not believe I need any additional time unless I may answer any questions the court might have.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh.
Thank you.
Mr. Rinker, you have 3 minutes remaining.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court. In focusing again on Justice O'Connor's question about the fact that Holmes caused the importation of these catalogs, can Holmes be subject to the tax for causing this importation? The Louisiana use tax imposes a tax on the use, which defines certain terms, including the term distribution and storage.
Suppose Holmes had ordered 3,000 travel alarm clocks to give to their best customers, and they ordered them from out of state and gave the names and addresses of the customers they wanted the clocks mailed to. Now, couldn't the state charge Holmes a use tax on those clocks?
Justice White, no, they could not, because Holmes does not exercise any power or control over those clocks once they come into the taxing state. A use tax is on the value of the use of tangible personal property. Holmes does not actually use those clocks in the state of Louisiana.
It made them available to their customers.
It's true, but once those clocks go into the hands of the customer, they're not in Holmes' hands, and a use tax on Holmes cannot be imposed.
So say that they order 3,000 alarm clocks. They say, send 1,500 of them to us, send the other 1,500 to the following people. They intend to give the 1,500 delivered to them to other people. They can be taxed on the 1,500, but
yes,
not the
other. Yes, because there is a use within the taxing state. We exercise possession and control over those clocks. We can do with them whatever we want within the state of Louisiana, and those would be subject to the use tax. The ones that are mailed, however, are not subject to tax because we do not exercise any power over those clocks within the state of Louisiana, incident to any ownership. Power and control over the clocks in the state of Louisiana is essential to impose the tax. The state statute uses the words distribution. Distribution is not simply causing something to be imported. Distribution involves the actual delivery.
But the construction of the state statute is not for us. The Louisiana court has held the state statute does cover this.
In determining the operational incidence of the statute, you're correct. The state court does determine that. This court, however, has the prerogative of determining whether or not the incidence upon which the state court imposes the tax does violate the Commerce Clause. And we're saying that this The importing aspect of distribution is not one of the activities which the state has the power to tax under the Commerce Clause, because in that instance, there is no activity within the state of Louisiana by Holmes which can be taxed. Remember, the key word is activity by Holmes with respect to those clocks within the state of Louisiana. I'd like to point out also, in my closing moments, that the severe burdens that might be caused by following the state's position in this case. Certainly, if a taxpayer can be taxed simply by having something mailed into the state, provided that taxpayer has some minimum contacts with the state, then all of the materials mailed to particular residents will be subject to tax in the hands of the taxpayer. For example, Red Cross mailings. The Red Cross organization has offices in virtually every state. If they send out from Washington, D.C., or from the national or international headquarters notices soliciting funds for particular purposes, the Red Cross is using property within the state of Louisiana. And to the extent it is using property under the state's theory, the value of those pieces of paper in the state are then subject to tax. This tax would also impact universities trying to solicit particular funds for their operations. You say, well, there's no contact between a university, but I think that you'll find recruiting...
Your time has expired, Mr. Rinker.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. We'll hear argument next.